If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And you're listening to What the fuck is wrong with me? Hi, I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And you're listening to Agony Rants.
Yes!
That still doesn't sound right.
But anyway, we are where we are. It's the brownies.
Good evening, good morning, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to Agony Rants, the show which will change the listener's life.
I love allegedly. The fact that you just basically made us sound like we're going over several time zones in our lives.
We are.
I know.
We are. We get messages from the Perth.
Yes, we do.
There's a few in Australia. Just Perth. Not just Keelan who sent who sent us the cakes. We get...
Just Perth.
This is the podcast for mainly Ireland and Perth.
And just one fella there.
I hope Keelan still listens.
I know, I love Keelan. That'd be awful.
Because that was 27 episodes ago, he sent us cake.
He loved us so much, he sent us cake. And now
you never forget.
You never call, you never write. Just like my children.
Speaking of cake.
Yeah, okay.
Every so often, Niamh surpasses herself, right? Every so often, Niamh will just go, do you want me to bake? And now I never say yes, Niamh. I never say yes. I never put you to trouble.
But you're always intensely disappointed when I don't.
Sometimes I get... Actually, sometimes I have to go in... I go into the bathroom and I punch the hand drawer. But Niamh Kavanagh-McGahey has made her gooey brownie.
My gooey brownie.
Niamh, your gooey brownie is...
Like out...
Of legend.
They are lovely. Like.
And I'll tell you what annoyed me.
What?
We recorded an episode. I had to go, I had to do a Zoom for my career.
You did?
My glittering
your
career.
Your real life.
Hot guys tucked into our brownies.
They were there, you know, and they looked like they needed a little perk.
They're great brownies.
No, they are. They are.
What? Tell me, what makes them gooey?
The problem was we overcook brownies.
That is true. My brownies are like a Brillo.
You have to have faith. You know, you do it for maybe half an hour and then you let it sit and let it continue to cook so it toughens up. But it actually becomes quite gooey because it isn't completely cooked through.
So you take it out of the oven after half an hour?
No, well, I actually just turned off the oven for half an hour and then took them out and left them cool completely. Although they're amazing when they're still hot.
So do you cook them in the oven for how long?
About half an hour.
With the oven on and then turn the oven off?
Turn the oven off and then wander off and do stuff. Sometimes I take them out straight away. It doesn't matter. The key is for them to be as gooey as they are is to actually let them cool completely in the tin.
You see, I'm not sure I could do that.
No, I know.
As soon as they come out of the oven, I'm just horsing into
them. I know. But actually, I had a bit off the corner last night when straight out of the oven and they're amazing straight out of the oven because everything is like melty and you're going...
And also, I'm off chocolate for Lent. However,
you
Niamh,
couldn't tell. You've had two so far.
Niamh.
Well, one and a half.
Where chocolate is an essential ingredient.
Okay, it's not the same.
It's not the same. It's absolutely not the same.
Okay.
Like, that's not chocolate.
Is that the same Patrick's Day get out of jail card again?
It is. Yeah, it is. Okay. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember once a time when you gave up stuff for Lent. And then suddenly you were allowed to have it on Patrick's Day. And then the next thing, there might have been some conversation about maybe on Sundays as well.
Maybe on Sundays, yeah. That's weird.
It got a bit out of hand, I'll be honest with you.
Here's the thing, right? I haven't given up something for Lent in, I would say, oh God, not since I was a child.
Okay.
But I gave up chocolate.
This time?
This Lent.
Right.
And I'm doing really well.
Apart from the brownies.
Niamh.
I did ask.
Excuse me.
I'm
doing really well. Okay. And I haven't broken it.
Oh.
At all.
Apart from the brownies.
Niamh, stop it. But I found it really easy.
You should have said I would have made, you know, cinnamon apple cake or something.
No, it's absolutely fine. Chocolate is an ingredient. There's nothing, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's unavoidable.
Same. All right.
But I found it really easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're probably thinking because you're eating brownies, but I'm not. Yeah. I'm actually not.
Well, not all the time.
Because I was eating too much chocolate, so I was like, do you know what?
Yeah, no, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
No.
Do you think when Jesus, you know, went through, because obviously we do the Lent thing because he went into the desert for 40 days,
40 nights.
You know, do you think he took St. Patrick's Day off?
No, but I'd imagine he had a stash. I mean, I don't like. I don't,
mean, to be fair, St. Patrick wasn't alive like, at that time.
But. 40 days, 40 nights. Isn't it like you can survive by 3 days, or was it 5 days without food, 3 days without water?
Yeah.
Is it 3 days without water?
Yeah, it's a considerably less for water than it is for food. I don't know exactly how long it is.
Because I once went through this phase of insomnia, right? And I was awake for 4 days.
Okay, that's never good.
No, it wasn't great, to be honest. Mm. But apparently, yeah, 5 days you die.
Well, it's a form of torture. Did you know that they use that as a form of torture, not letting you sleep?
Yeah.
So you effectively lived Guantanamo Bay for that.
I know. Yeah.
You had the Guantanamo Bay experience.
No, but I did. I had four days where I didn't sleep. But
yeah.
But apparently on day five, you go mad. You go.
Well, you do have difficulties, all right, coping. Did you not sleep at all?
No, I didn't sleep at all. No, but I did get irrationally annoyed at an Amazon chatbot. But I mean, I was tired.
An Amazon what?
Chatbot.
Now?
You know, like where you're
the chatbot.
Like,
okay.
I ordered fairy lights. You're in fairy lights, they're not here. I'm standing on a ledge.
Haven't slept in 4 days.
Yeah. I'd like to speak to Jeff Bezos, please. Put me through to Jeff Bezos.
Jeff is ringing you straight away. He's the top bot.
Geralt.
He's the top bot, Jeff Bezos.
Geralt, we've heard about the fairy lights. What can we do? How can we make this up?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's exactly what happened, is it?
Yeah.
In your hallucination. I was just asking if you had hallucinations, but you definitely
had deranged. Like, I was like, Geralt, this is not that. Now you need to just take a Xanax and get a bit of kip.
Well, the difficulty is, you know, sleep deprivation is absolutely a form of torture. It was used.
I mean, it wasn't that bad.
I mean, anybody who's had kids will tell you that.
I mean, I got loads of hoovering done.
Oh yeah.
Like the place is like a new pin because I couldn't sleep. I was just like.
And so, it wasn't enough for you to have insomnia, but your partner also. Had
I know. I was washing the skirting boards and all at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I wouldn't mind you washing the skirting boards. That isn't as noisy as hoovering the floor.
I did do mad stuff. Like I was down. Like I know. One of the things I did was I hoovered out the letterbox.
I beg your pardon?
Like, you know, in an apartment, you've got a letterbox. I was down there with the dustbuster going, what sort of animal lives in an apartment for 15 years and doesn't hoover?
In the
actually,
hole.
Now when I say it out loud, I was like, actually, maybe I did go a bit mad. Yeah.
At four in the morning, did you hoover the letterbox at 4 in the morning?
No, it wasn't 4 in the morning, but it was about like maybe 11 o'clock in the day.
I once had terrible jet lag and couldn't sleep. For about 3 or 4 days, and I'd come from New York to London to do some recording. So I was going into the recording studio during the day, and then I could not sleep at night. And you know those little tiny hotel rooms that you get in London?
Yes.
You know those, and there was no lift or anything. I was on the top floor, so the heat was rising up. So every night I went in with the best hopes that I was going to sleep, and it never happened.
Oh no.
And by the fourth night, I was so deliriously upset with myself, like I was just beside myself, you know, the way kids when you're a toddler you get beyond yourself. So actually I did fall asleep on the fourth night, and I was so happy. I actually felt like I was happy in my sleep, you know. It was like so happy to fall asleep. And then I started to have this very graphic dream that there was a big black animal in my room, and I couldn't wake myself up because I was so tired. And I actually eventually got to open my eyes, and it was only an hour later, and I was having a full panic attack.
Which, oh God.
And you know me, I don't have panic. That's not how I'm wired. And yeah, so that's the only experience I have with sleep deprivation.
I have panic attacks. That's something that I never used to have until.
Until what? Till you met me?
3 years ago, I'd say.
Oh, that's about the time we started, isn't it?
Yeah, actually it is. It is. Every so often I'll have a panic attack for no reason.
Yeah, you just get really
whatsoever.
Anxious. Yeah, but you think a lot of people are like that since COVID?
It is since COVID, but now, I mean, I'm not worried about COVID.
No, I know. I'm not
saying. But I was walking home there about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. And what did you have the attack about?
Absolutely.
Or was there anything?
I was just literally walking home listening to music, and I was like, why can't I breathe? I can't breathe. Oh my God.
It's stressful. And it doesn't, there's no logic in it.
No.
Maybe you knew that they were going to come too early for the floors. How'd you get on with that?
It looks incredible. Niamh, it looks incredible.
And what's the single life like then?
We're in relationship counselling. All my cards have been cut off. I'm not allowed to spend anymore. And I'm not allowed to make any big relationship decisions. Look, we are where we are. We've lovely floors.
We are lovely where floors. We are.
We've lovely wardrobes.
It's a good day.
Yeah, we haven't spoken in about 3 weeks, but like, look.
No.
Yeah.
I know.
It's fine. I don't care.
I know. It's good. It's good.
Niamh, we have a follow-up.
Okay, go on then.
I'm excited about the follow-up.
I know.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because every so often, right, mm-hmm. we get one that you kind of think, oh, that's quite serious.
Yeah.
And it could go either way. Do you know what I mean? Like, and there was a part of me that feels like I wanted to really just go, you know what, give this guy one chance and then...
And then
jog on, but I didn't say that.
No, no, you were very kind. Sort of you were kind.
No, absolutely.
Okay, go on then.
Dear Niamh and Garrod, we have a follow-up.
Excellent.
I wrote to you before Christmas because I was dating a guy and things were great. But he hadn't introduced me to his family and I thought it was so weird.
Mm-hmm.
I was concerned about this because my family are very involved in our lives. Now, that sounds like a nightmare. But anyway... we see them all the time and
is
I know he feels very close to them. As usual, your advice was on point and caring.
Oh, so that must be me then.
Yeah, that was you. So I bit the bullet that day that your advice episode dropped and he seemed very annoyed at me that I was bringing this up. Because do you remember, like, he was a bit cagey about
how to broach it. Yeah.
And we had an argument, but I was happy enough to have it.
Oh, good on you.
That's like me. I love a row.
Yeah, but actually it's good. You kind of have to accept that sometimes rows happen and actually... Yeah. Understanding that this has to happen and then it's okay to have it, then that's good, isn't it? Yeah. Changes how you are in it.
You know, you throw the deep fat fryer in.
Yeah. Did you take the oil out first?
I love a round, Niamh.
I know, but throwing the deep fat fryer, there's a lot of cleanup.
Then I employed all of the tactics you mentioned. I told him he didn't need to be ashamed or fearful of me meeting them, as it is him that I love.
Oh my God.
Oh, Ray.
Imagine we said that.
This is beautiful. Did we say that?
We must have. Well, that's what he heard.
I wouldn't say that now. I think I've heard her edge than I did then. Sell him on, right? Sell him on. He was so grateful. We had a long chat about it. And he said he just isn't that close to them. Oh. They grate on him. He introduced me to them and I was so surprised because he really is a different person around them. They really bring out the worst in him. This is what I think is the problem. Ray has opened Pandora's box here.
Yes, he has.
So now he's going to have to keep meeting them.
I know.
It was better. It was. That's it. Sometimes people don't know how lucky they have it. I'm sorry. If your partner
doesn't get on with his family
and doesn't want to introduce you to the in-laws, take the win.
Don't listen to him, Ray. Don't listen to him.
But I have met them twice now and my boyfriend has said that he feels very relieved that he can talk to me about them.
Well, that gives him a venting area. That's not a bad thing.
I bet they had absolutely amazing riding after this. Oh, we're so connected.
I know, I love it.
Oh, yeah. A
little bit of makeup.
We moved in together in January and we really are like two pigs in a pod. I think you're mixing your metaphors. Two peas in a pod, surely.
It is. Or two pigs in a sty. One or the other.
Two pigs in a pod.
Might have been autocorrect.
Reread. I cannot stress this enough that when people write to us, they need to reread. And some need to reread aloud.
I love it.
Thanks so much for all you do, Ray, now an Agony Rants ambassador.
We love you, Ray. We love you. And don't listen to him. He's in a very bad place now.
He's made terrible decisions.
I'm not giving him any more brownies.
Ray has made awful decisions. I think it's the sugar crash, Niamh.
You're going to need to go out and get some more.
But it doesn't last long. It doesn't last long. It's like heroin.
That's so
you need to go out and bang up into the back of my knee.
You realise that the reason I don't give them very often is so that you need to keep me here.
I know.
There's no other reason for you to keep me.
Oh, I'm going to be chasing the dragon all afternoon now. Niamh, we have a... what are we forgetting? This is really short. Thank you for listening.
Thank you and good night. Less run yourself. No, this is pretty good.
Are we doing all right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It depends on how much we have in our problems.
Niamh, we have a problem.
We do. We have two, actually, probably.
We have two problems.
Two problems. Okay. Okay. I'm going to read the first one because you've already hogged the episode enough.
Go for it.
Dear Agony Rants, I am absolutely obsessed with Agony Rants and I'm a proper fan. And I would love it if you both did a live show. Come on, you know you really want to. I want to.
Here's the thing about the live show. I would love to do a live show.
But?
I just don't like the capacity for the work, Niamh.
What do you mean for the
work? Niamh will show up, I've done three songs. We're ready. It's like, Niamh, we've done an hour and a half. If we do a live show, I'm going to sing Why Me.
You missed a very big opportunity there.
What?
Surely you want to sing Better the Devil You Know Than the Devil You Don't.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to sing that, Niamh. I would love to sing that. But I do think what we should do is if we do a live show is that we should, like, any money we'd make from it, we should put into hiring Sonia to sing Better the Devil You Know. I mean, she's probably about 40 grand. It'll probably cost about 40 grand to get her to do it, but worth every penny, Niamh. Worth every penny. Okay. Wouldn't that be incredible?
Amazing.
I think that'd be incredible. We have a surprise guest, Niamh.
Amazing. You know.
It'll be Agony Rants, headlined by Sonia. while we're on the subject, this person, who's this person? What's her name?
It's Rebecca.
Rebecca. Rebecca's brought the subject up.
Yes, okay.
We could do a live show.
We could do a live show.
It'd be incredible.
I'd love it.
However, there's certain logistics. Like, what would we do?
Well, what we do now.
Answer letters.
No, people could bring their problems to us. We could have a couple of letters.
But like, what
could
if you they
imagine?
Don't?
Imagine if they came with their problems.
But what if they didn't?
Listen, everybody has a problem. We'd get it out of them.
So we'd be sitting on the stage going, I haven't got a problem. Like, no. Well, we'd be wrapping up.
It's been lovely to see you all. There's no refunds.
It's 20 past eight, but we are where we are. Niamh, do you want to sing In Your Eyes?
Again.
25 times. To bring us up to the time.
I sing other songs, right?
No, but like,
you
know.
And you can do a tight 10.
No, but anyway, what would we do? Like, how would the show look?
Look, he overthinks.
I'll tell you what would happen. I'd have to go out and do stand-up to warm them up. You'd come on. We'd spend like 3 grand on having you walk on in smoke. You'd sing In Your Eyes. No, nothing be able to top it. They'd all leave.
I don't think that's the way that's going to go. But maybe our listeners would give us a few ideas.
Suggestions.
About what they, yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Like designed by committee.
I'm just saying, if you're that stressed about it.
Well, but like, I would love to do a live show, but I just don't know what we'd do.
Well, we do what we do on the podcast. We solve people's problems. No?
We bring problems in, like.
Yeah, well, to be honest, we are problems in ourselves.
So I think we just email someone and go, we're doing your problem as a live show.
How amazing would that be?
It would be good. It would be good. But I think I'd be so nervous because like we'd just be like, wait, like, I mean, we'll be honest. We don't put a massive amount of thought into this.
Oh my God. I do nothing but think about it for the on the journey on the way down. I don't think about it once
when
I leave.
When was the last time you listened to a full episode of Agony Rants, Niamh?
Yesterday.
You're such a liar. Such a liar.
I don't know. I just like to admire your work.
So basically we'd go in to do the show. It's like, it's the same format as the show. Well, you're going to need to explain that because Niamh's never listened.
I know the format.
I don't know. We should do a live. Like somebody else said that to me recently that we
listen,
should do, but we should.
Sometimes it's enough for people to be in the aura of you. Grode.
Now that is spoken like somebody that's won the Eurovision.
Yes.
As somebody that hasn't won a Eurovision. And also sells tickets. I'm very much aware that it's not enough. That you walk out on the stage and you get 2 minutes of, yay, we're here. And then it's like, okay, deliver.
You and I have never gone on stage and not delivered.
No, that's true.
Right. And we have always plenty to say when we're together.
Plenty to say.
You know, so the thing is, we bring a couple of problems with us and then we encourage people to give us problems or stories.
I just get annoyed though.
You would? Why?
You know, like when they start to walk around.
What do you mean walk around?
Well, like when people walk around going out to the loo or, you know, I'd be like.
No, they don't do that. You tell them at the beginning, the doors are locked.
Yeah.
Give them out, you know, bottles with wide enough neck, like a shiwi or something.
Well, maybe we do a little one just to see how it goes.
I think we should do one here at the podcast studio for people who would really like to, you know, do kind of a lottery thing and then get people to come. would be really fun.
A lottery?
Yeah, you know, among our subscribers or our listeners, if they were, you know, those who would really most like to come. I mean, obviously, it might be a bit difficult for Keelan coming from Perth, but, you know.
I think if we gave him enough notice,
he might just pay the ridiculous amount of money to come here.
I think he'd come.
You know,
and then I suppose financially, how would we make it work in terms of the ticket price? I mean, I don't think we should be selling tickets for less than €300.
Okay,
you won a Eurovision, Niamh. It's a small room.
Okay, okay. Or we could just test out the theory on how it works in that, and then take it on the road.
Yeah.
See, I think the mistake most people do when they put a show together for, you know, podcasts is that they overcomplicate it. People listen. No, seriously, there's no complication.
There's a lot of people putting effort in, and if we've learned anything from Niamh, as little as possible.
People don't listen here to hear us sing or do comedy.
Niamh, are you trying to tell me that if we did a live show, they'd be like, oh, she didn't sing In Your Eyes, that's fine. I'm fine with that. We've got enough. You'd have to sue the song, Niamh.
To be fair, what's the likelihood that I wouldn't be singing at some point? Anyway, this is not actually involved in...
What's that other one you do?
Have you forgotten what we're supposed to be doing?
I wonder if one day... What's that one?
Puppet on a string. What do you mean, that other one that you do? Is that
no,
it?
No, yeah, like...
38 years gigging and that's it?
No, but like that's the, you know... But like on a Eurovision show.
What's that other one you do?
No, but you do loads of songs really, really well, and you're incredibly talented.
I do. So,
hugely talented.
Not in any way dismissive.
You are. But I prefer it when you do the Bonnie Raitts. Do you know what I mean?
I know, me too. Me too. Yeah. But you know, it's.
But every so often you do something.
Horses for courses.
Yeah, you do something by some French lunatic, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
What, like Celine Dion, you mean?
No, what's the other one? The one about bonking.
Oh, Boom Bang A Bang. About bonking, what are you talking about?
Bonking, what's it called?
Bonking?
Une banque, une rue,
which is...
So please don't look down your nose at me because I couldn't say it.
It won in Dublin, you know that one, 1971.
Did it?
In the Gaiety, yeah.
What a story.
I know. Full of the stories.
Anyway, man. Live show.
Okay, Rebecca, you are responsible for what happened in the last 4 minutes.
As you are aware, Rebecca, it's on the table, but much to discuss.
I'm really sorry what happened there, Rebecca. I'm really sorry.
Go on.
Okay, so let's get back to why Rebecca really wrote, okay?
Okay.
I have a problem and I hope you can help because I am at the end of my patience with it. I have been in a relationship with a lovely man for 4 years and we have been living together for 3. All is good. We get on very well, but I am harbouring a massive resentment.
Oh, yeah, all sounds good. All is good. Except the massive resentment.
That I'm harbouring.
That is eating me from the inside.
He doesn't lift a finger around the house, oh God. I inevitably end up having to nag him or just do it myself.
Oh God.
It has always bothered me, but for some reason, over the past 3 months, it has been bothering me a lot more than it should. I know why. I need to sort this, but I don't know where to start. But I'm absolutely done and over it. We both have full-time jobs and work from home a few days a week. But for some reason, his job is more important than the housework. But for me, it's a priority. I need to solve this quickly because I feel like I am about to erupt like a volcano. I really feel like I have an Uber ick. Is that like, you know, like...
Like, sick of Ubers.
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't like a taxi.
There you go. That has come on suddenly. We don't usually fight or bicker. Really? And I'm afraid...
That's your problem.
If I'm afraid this kicks off, it will end badly. Need to address it fast. Please, can you give me some of your brilliant tough love? Thanks, Rebecca. Okay. Where are you going on this then? Or do you want me?
Why is she not erupting like a volcano?
I don't know.
Why? I don't understand why she's stopping herself.
No. Why has it taken her 3 years to get to this point?
Yeah. See,
do you think? You don't mind doing the housework if you're getting good sex. Like.
There's something. Like, I'll tell you what the problem is.
What?
For some reason, she has told herself when they moved in together, oh, let's not row, let's not argue.
Yeah.
And then, so she's basically a doormat.
Now, that's a bit harsh.
Well, I'm sorry, if you are doing all of the housework and it's bothering you, like, because if you are somebody that loves doing housework.
Yeah.
And you're doing all the housework.
Yeah.
Then you're getting stuff done the way you want it done.
Okay.
Which sometimes I'm very happy to do.
And on board with, yeah.
Yeah.
There are some things that, you know, like when I watch my husband load the dishwasher, I know I'm going to reload it. And I check it. Because he's forever putting in cooked in egg and stuff like that. And,
or when
and,
he hoovers.
And never washes. Oh, they don't go in the corners.
Corners? Just a circle in the middle of the room. It's like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize this room was round. But anyway.
You're harboring no resentment there.
Oh, aren't we so lucky that our cat doesn't go into the corner ever?
ever. Or under the sofa.
I swear to God, a gust of breeze.
Yeah.
A gust of breeze goes through our apartment. And it blows onto the couch. And I swear to God, it's like, oh my God, we've been infested by cats.
I know.
Like, there's like three different boots all running around.
Here's the interesting thing for me. You're right. It's taken her a long time. And I think I know why, right?
Why?
Well, I think what's happened is it's probably just happened over time that she kind of does the stuff. And he's gone, that's grand. And actually, the other thing is that some people don't mind it being a bit messy. You know, they don't see. And do you ever see that thing on TikTok where the Insta, where they have this guy, he says, don't you worry. She's losing her bap over the fact that there's too much housework. And he says, don't worry, I'm going to show you something. And he brings her over to the basket. And he says, see that? That's a magic basket. You put your clothes in there dirty. And then next thing you know, they're folded up. And she's like having a kitten beside him, right? I think a lot of people, not just men, to be fair, this is women also.
Yeah.
You know, this comes for women as well. The thing is, a lot of people don't see that kind of, shall we say, casual housework that gets done all the time.
See, and do you know what makes this much worse, mm-hmm. right? And I do know about this now. I'm not taking a swing at my boyfriend, in case he's listening. When working from home gets introduced.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bit of a game changer.
It is.
I'll tell you why, right? Because the person that's working from home is used to prioritizing work because they're in work.
Yes, of course.
But I'm sorry, you're not in work. You're at home. So if you're making a cup of tea or if you're sitting down to work, well, it's like, no. You've got to do, you're in a house. Like the house is, it's not a workplace. It's a house.
So you have to clean up after you.
So you've got to clean up after you. But B,
while you're at it,
if you get up in the morning and you're not leaving the house, empty the dishwasher.
Yeah.
I don't care if you've got to go on a call.
Yeah.
Get up 10 minutes earlier and empty the, like, the, yeah. You're at home for the day.
Yeah.
So the day starts. Like, you're at home. It's not about.
I'm laughing because basically I've lived with three men on
God,
and off now for years.
I feel
right?
like I'm about to tear my t-shirt off. I know. In that much of a rant.
The last 20 odd years I've lived in the same, you know, and I know I'm a bit territorial about some parts of the housework, right? Some of it I've had to learn over the years that's not going to happen the way I think it's going to happen, especially when I'm not there. So those, I've got really good at accepting that and just not really thinking about it very much. I am always, you know, resigned to the fact that I am the only person who's going to open up the fridge door and realize that something is dead in there and I'm going to have to clean it out. Now, I'm not always the one on top of it, to be fair. You know, Paul, sometimes I hear him tutting in the kitchen because, you know, while he rinses stuff, which is not the same as washing. But, you know, and they have absolutely no idea what the Narnia of the washing machine does. You know, the magic that happens in that situation. They don't really understand it. But then that's my fault because I actually just do it.
You see, what my boyfriend does, and this is a credit to him.
Wow.
I know. I just thought
this is
myself,
a moment.
Dave, I'll be honest, I don't do this often.
You had to have a moment there.
Every so often he'll say, I'm doing all the washing today. Anything you need, throw it into the basket.
Okay.
Which he's great. But the problem is there's more consistency required.
You know,
like there's stuff
often
to be done every day.
Okay. Yeah, no, I understand that. And actually,
as I always say, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
No, I get that.
But I will stab you in the throat if you don't put your cup in the dishwasher. And no jury will convict me.
No, I get that. And actually, but all of us have different things that are important to us. In this situation, Rebecca, what I think has happened is over time, in the joys of love and fabulousness. You've moved into this house and then naturally things have fallen to you. And in the early stages, that's not a problem because you're just reveling in the fact that you're living together. I'm kind of interested to see whether you actually moved in with him. That might have changed the dynamic as well. But
oh,
whose place you moved into.
Interesting. Interesting.
That sometimes changes that. But actually, here's what I think has happened. Over time, you've got to that, and then suddenly you've lifted your head. The two of you are working and you're saying, why the hell is that my job?
Yeah, exactly.
But you have to take some responsibility here because the chances are you've made it your job and not complained about it. The thing is, at this point, you can't just suddenly go, lose the bap altogether because that won't achieve anything. You'll just look like you're irrational and he'll probably think it's the time of the month.
Anything. Not about achieving anything.
You know what I mean?
Beat the head off.
Yeah, but actually what you need to do is go, right, look, this is just too much. We're all living in the space. We're working from home. On the days we're working from home, this is the chore list. You know, whoever's home that day needs to do this and this. And agree it with him.
That's great. The thing you have to do with that is when he doesn't do it,
You
have to lose your shit.
Oh.
When he doesn't do it, you have to go so mental and so irrational, so fast.
That he lives in fear.
That he never doesn't do the chore list again.
See, no.
Because you see, you're putting the chore list in place and that's you're doing all of the front loading of all of the work.
Yeah.
So it's like, are we agreeing to this? Okay. Well, if you don't do this, it's betrayal is what it is. And the other thing you need to do is you need to get cleaner.
Yeah, well, actually, cleaner would be good. Do a good quick, you know, yeah. If you're both working and you're both making enough money.
Because what might make it better is, right?
If someone's coming in doing the big
stuff. If you get a cleaner.
Yeah.
So if you are always coming home and having to do the work, even if there's one day a week that you come home and it's done, even if it's not done by him, if it's done by somebody else. But if you can just be 100% certain it will be done when you come home, that could save his life.
I had a cleaner.
Did you?
I did. Well, mainly because I was away and a lot at the time, and I wanted Paul not to be stressing about it, so I got a cleaner, and I spent more time cleaning up for the cleaner coming because I was mortified. Sometimes you're not wired for it, you know what I mean? Now she was brilliant, and I loved it. And the day that I came home, when everything was cleaned, like the bathrooms and the floors.
See, that's lovely.
It is lovely, and one big clean in the week can make a huge difference. You know, a huge difference. Yes, that is a thing. And actually, I kind of get your idea that, you know, lose the shit and all that. But actually, their dynamic as a relationship is not that. What you need to do is, on the day he doesn't do it and he's supposed to be doing his chores, you go in and you say, those chores are not done, they need done, and I'm not doing them.
Psychological torture.
You know, you just have to be direct, but losing your shit just makes you look irrational. And I think men get away with that more than women.
There has to be consequences.
Yeah, there has to be consequences. There will always be consequences. Listen, I live in a house where three men exist, and through some of my fault, because I didn't like the way they did it sometimes, or just over, it was just easier to do it. I was that soldier. And the other thing was, of course, that because of the way that I worked, you know, there would be periods of time when I was at home, and then there was this kind of concept that I didn't work. You know what I mean? They didn't, because, and this is the other thing, when you're working from home, people think that you're not working.
But what needs to happen is that you need him to get into that rhythm of it. Oh, Jules have to realise it's not a workplace he's in.
Yeah, no,
it's a home.
And he has to know that he actually lives in that home and he's the one creating half the mess, so he has to be involved in it. You know, that's it.
Excellent.
End of conversation. You know, and so if it's things he can't do, then that's fine. You know, have a conversation about it.
Exactly. I'm on board, Niamh.
And if it doesn't go the way you want, tell him to fuck off. No, I'm serious.
Get rid of him.
Yeah, because you're deliriously happy, except you're harboring a huge resentment.
Yeah. Except for the violent hate that's destroying your every moment.
I'm harboring a massive resentment. That is the best statement I've heard all day. I'm going to use that. I swear to God.
Niamh, we have another problem.
No, just the one.
Hi, Niamh. Okay. Our extended family, second and third cousins, etc., are all really close. Even though we live... Oh, no, I love the podcast. But anyway. Are all really close, even though we live in different parts of the world now. We usually all get together for weddings, funerals or big birthdays. But since COVID, there is a family within the wider family group who have gone off the deep end. Okay.
This would be good.
First, the parents voted for Brexit.
Oh.
Blaming immigrants. Even though they are immigrants themselves in the UK. Don't get me started. Oh, God.
So they're probably Irish.
I do think that is... That is just...
I know.
But then during COVID, they were the ones, parents, children and grandchildren who didn't get vaccinated, wouldn't wear masks, were all meeting up and going against all sorts of medical advice. You know the type.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they've gotten worse. Over the last couple of years with conspiracy theories about the EU, crypto, Joe Biden, etc. They've become stereotypical tinfoil hat people. Just cut them off. They are not all bad because they do tend to keep a lid on it until somebody opens the door to one of their stupid conspiracies and then they just run away with it. And it's very frustrating to listen to and I'm sick of biting my tongue. My problem is that my grandmother's 90th birthday is coming up and they are all coming from England for it.
Okay.
Oh God. I live alone and my mum has gone over my head to offer my spare room and sofa to the nut job family. No.
Oh no. No, but she's...
I've been really busy with work for the last couple of weeks, so I don't have the headspace to be checking the family WhatsApp group and nobody alerted me to this.
You've only yourself to blame.
Nobody seemed to notice that I hadn't said anything at all. Anyway, I only found out when my sister made a joke about it the other day, but it is now more than 2 weeks since my mother offered and they accepted. There has also been loads of chat about who was staying with who. So pretty much everyone is sorted. There is now nowhere for me to offload these fuckers to. And I'm in such a fucking rage with my mother that I don't think I could stay with her. I live next door to another cousin who is hosting some other family members. So if I tell a lie to cover myself, it really needs to be convincing. I can't have these fuckers in my house. And I'm fucked if I'm going to tell them the reason why. It would ruin my nan's birthday. Any advice or suggestions for a cover story? Thanks, Emma.
Emma. You've no one to say, blame but yourself. I always say you have to keep on top of these WhatsApp conversations.
I'm going to be honest.
Well,
I'm very much Emma.
No, I know that.
That
is not a surprise to me.
Like, I do. Like, things go by. Like, yeah. If I'm from a big family.
Okay, yeah, and, like, me too.
Things just escalate. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I get these WhatsApps that are like, where are you?
I know.
I'm like, I'm at home. What's in the non-order SVU? What's wrong? And they're like, we're having a birthday cake for... And you're like, oh, good God. Like, I do miss things. Like, because you swoosh by. Because what happens with the family WhatsApp group as well, right?
Yeah.
If somebody does something and then posts like 60 photographs of their kid.
Yeah, I know.
Climbing up a swing or something.
So if you miss that one thing.
So if you miss one thing, it's...
Yeah. But okay. It does tell you where the news messages start. Now, you have to make an effort.
What I would do is...
What would you do?
I would say... Hi guys, sorry. I don't check this group very often. My fault. Sorry about this. Unfortunately, this isn't a runner.
Mm-hmm.
What to do is reply to your mother's text. Say, sorry, unfortunately, this isn't a runner. Sorry to inconvenience everybody. But no. Like, because I'll tell you, right? The 2 or 3 minutes of awkwardness that you feel when you're confronted with them face to face at the party, mm-hmm, because you'll be avoiding each other because they're going to hate you.
Yeah, okay.
That is so much more bearable than 3 days of them in your house. Because when you have that moment's awkwardness, and it will be awkward and it'll be horrible, you'll be able to go home that night and go, Jesus, that was awkward in your own house.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are staying with you, you will have 3 full days of it and there will be nowhere to go.
What? Yeah, I get that. You're not wrong, right? You're not wrong. Knowing how to say no is really important, right? However, I feel the window of opportunity is slightly past because you haven't been paying attention. And this is a life lesson for you, Emma. A life lesson that you have to keep attention to what's happening.
I
will say this, right? There are several options you could use here, right? One is that you go and live somewhere else for that period of time and let them have at it. The other option is to say that some sort of lurgy is in your house and you have had to get pest exterminators in. No, pest exterminators in, right?
All right, okay.
Some infestation of cockroaches. Borrow one and show them the cockroach. And then the other, no, that's their extreme, right? Have activities organized for them and send them on the activities. All of these things, right? The dread of these things are sometimes worse than the actual thing of it, right? You know, the thing is, these people are coming for a few days. I'm sure you can suck it up at this point. My feeling is you're already annoyed and up ready to kill someone over it. But the chances are you'll be okay. Just don't spend as much time there. Let them be in your space. And the next time you say, I had them, that's you then done. You never have to have them again. And I'll tell you why. Because everybody else has to take their time then after that. I did my time. That's it.
No. I see your point. And I feel
now, that if this was at the time when our mother put it in the thing, first of all, what business has your mother offering that situation?
I would kill my mother for this.
Yeah, no, she knew exactly what she was doing.
Absolutely kill her.
Did you do something to your mother, Emma? She knew exactly what she was doing.
She did. I feel like she did know what she was doing. But I would just say this is not a right. Now, if you do feel a responsibility there, which I have to say, I most certainly would not.
Listen,
because here's what I don't understand.
Right, okay.
What I don't understand, and my parents will say this to me in Gonka Road now, but what I don't understand is the pathological need in people to preserve relationships with extended family that make no effort with you.
Yeah, no, I know.
I do not understand it.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm actually very much, does it make you happy? Very Marie Kondo, as you know, when it comes to friends. If they don't spark joy, what the hell is going on here?
Move on.
But you know, and extended family does fall into that. The difficulty is, though, you know, for every event
But she hates these people.
I don't know if she hates. Hates a strong word.
Well,
she doesn't like what they're doing.
She strongly dislikes them. And she, if they decide we hate Emma, I don't think Emma's going to be that bothered.
No, no.
So I think, Emma, now's your time, babes.
I kind of wish I was that person. But just, you know,
the
thing
is, message. This is not a runner. Apologies. If I can help by looking for an Airbnb for you, I'm more than happy to do that, to send you a link that you can book.
Here's the problem, though. Here's the problem, right? These people now think they're coming not to pay money for accommodation.
If you feel responsibility, then pay for their Airbnb, Emma.
But
I would not have these people in my house.
Okay.
It's difficult, even when you adore somebody.
No,
it's difficult to have them in your house.
I know.
Except
I often
you,
see.
Niamh.
I was going to say, I see Except that on you. Your face sometimes.
No. I love it when you stay.
I'm very chill.
You're very chill. You make your own coffee and everything.
I do.
Yeah,
I
you
do.
Rifle through my drawers.
I know. Read your post.
Another mortgage payment bounce there, girl.
What's going on there? What's going on there? I'm such a mammy when I walk around. Is that corner clean?
Yeah, exactly.
But my problem is here, Emma, I totally get it, right? You're not, what you really need is someone to feel bad for you that this has happened. And I am sad that this has happened to you, right? But the thing is, your family has dropped you right in it and they knew exactly what they were doing.
They did know what they were doing.
They
That's
were
what annoys
exactly,
me.
They must have stuffed in anybody they knew to get in their places so they wouldn't have to take this family.
What you need to do is you need to call your family's bluff.
And do what?
Because your family have said, we'll drop Emma in this, she won't notice. And she'll accept it. However, if Emma just goes, sorry guys, not a runner.
Okay. But actually, in this case, Emma, I think your window of opportunity may be passed. And I completely understand that. I completely understand your frustration with it.
This is what the thing, the most upsetting thing in this for me is that it's such phenomenal consequences for not keeping up with the family WhatsApp group.
Yes, but you know, there's a life lesson in that. Do you understand me? You've got to learn to keep on top of these things. She'll never make that mistake again. I guarantee you.
I'd leave the WhatsApp group.
Emma's left the building.
That's what I do. Do you know what I do? I would reply to your mother's message, go, this is not a runner. Happy to source an Airbnb. Emma has left the group. And I hope that helps. I don't think it has because me and Niamh haven't agreed.
We haven't agreed.
I mean, to
be honest, I feel bad for you, Emma.
I respect Niamh's point of view.
I also accept yours. And it's just the different ways that we're going to deal with it.
Yeah.
The reality is.
And I will say this. If you take Niamh's advice on this, you've only yourself to blame.
No, if you take my advice on it, actually, whoever's advice you take, we definitely want to hear about this.
Yeah, let us know what you do.
We definitely want follow up on
this.
There's
nothing worse.
But we love you, Emma. And you know what? Actually, then you can come to the live show afterwards. And
we do a live show.
And we'll mind you.
That would be amazing if somebody who has written, well, I presume they would come to the show and give us a live follow-up.
I think if they can be bothered actually writing in, the chances are they might
show
up.
And also we'll sell streaming tickets so we can rinse all of those people that live outside of Ireland.
Okay.
You know, like Davey.
Small bit of rinsing.
Yeah.
Why do we need to rinse them? They're nice people. Oh, rinse them as in get money out.
Get money, yeah.
Okay, I thought you were going to slag them off. I was going to say,
why
would you do that? They're amazing.
No, turn them upside down and
no.
jangle the change out of their pockets. Niamh, it's been wonderful to talk to you.
So
as
good.
Always.
I enjoyed those
always,
problem
Niamh.
Sessions.
I really enjoyed them. Yeah. I'm dying to find out what Emma does.
I know. I love when we don't necessarily agree. I think that's a good thing.
It's very rare.
I know, because we always agree in essence with things. I mean, we both agree that, you know, poor Emma, like. But
I know that you go away and go, Jesus Christ, he's hard working.
No, never. I miss you. When I leave you, I miss you.
Ah, you're only human. It's been wonderful to talk to you, Niamh. It's been wonderful to talk to you, the listeners. Uh-huh. Agonyrants@gmail.com if you want to get in touch.
Please send us your problems and stories. We absolutely love them.
And please rate, review, subscribe and follow.
Yes, that'd be very good. You definitely love that. And because any, I mean, you know, Grode is like 5 minutes away from, you know, replacing me. So it would be really good. Better the devil you know than the devil you know.
You do a good version, Niamh.
It'd be better if I actually knew it.
It's such a great song.
It is. Great.
You know. Ding, ding,
okay.
Ding, ding.
It's not the same without the purple jumpsuit.
Oh, I'd love a purple jumpsuit. If I'm doing it, I'm going to get a purple jumpsuit.
So want a purple jumpsuit for you.
I'm doing why me. My way. I look at you. Anyway. We'll
and
chat to you
I
next
ask
week.
Myself,
my wee.
I love
sometimes
Linda.
I
and I have a bad word.
Sitting by the window.
Oh my God! One of these days you'll learn that
sometimes
properly.
Sometimes I pass it.
It sounds like you're passing
sleeping
something.
Sleeping in my dreams, my wee.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to cut this off here now. And it's been a lovely time that we've shared together. Nobody needs to see what's about to happen.
We'll chat to you next week.
Bye,
me.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.